Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Shall we sing together? Would you stand and sing with us, please?
Two, and one, two, three, four.
Hail, hail to the newborn King. Let our voices sing Him our praises. Hail, hail to the guiding light that brought us tonight to our Savior. Alleluia, 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 alleluia. Come now, let it shine so bright to the knowing light of the stable. Feel close to the child so dear. Cast aside your fear and be thankful. Hail, hail to the newborn King. Let our voices sing Him our praises. Hail, hail to the guiding light that brought us tonight to our Savior. Alleluia. 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 Alleluia.
Hail, hail to the newborn King. Let our voices sing Him our praises. Hail, hail to the guiding light that brought us tonight to our Savior. Alleluia.
Alleluia.
Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.
God's people said, amen. Please be seated.
Greetings and blessings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm glad to see you all here. Happy New Year. I can't say to you, see you next year again, but I'm so delighted that you're here. My name is Cheryl Broom, and I'm the senior pastor here, and today is a special day in worship. For we celebrate the baptism of our Lord Jesus, and so we'll have a time to come by the font and remember our own baptism. If you're new to this place, we have two cards, a blue card, which you can give us any information you're comfortable with that we might contact you, and the yellow card, which is a prayer card, for you to list whatever's on your heart or mind. Our prayer team will meet here in the sanctuary tomorrow at 4 p.m., where we'll have a time of Holy Communion, and we will pray over every prayer request. It is also our habit to pray over the names of the people in the congregation, so make sure we have your name, okay? Then let us begin our time of worship.
Good morning. My name's Rex Donnelly, and it's really good to be in worship with you this morning. We light these candles as we begin worship to symbolize Christ's presence with us. Will you stand in body or in spirit as we welcome the light of Christ? This morning's first scripture reading is Acts 19, 1 through 7. If you want to follow along, you can find it in your pew Bible on page 1012. I'll be reading from the Message. Listen now for a word from God. Now it happened that while Apollos was away in Corinth, Paul made his way down through the mountains, came to Ephesus, and happened on some disciples there. The first thing he said was, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Did you take God into your mind alone, or did you also embrace Him with your heart? Did He get inside you? We've never heard of that. A Holy Spirit, God within us. How were you baptized then?" asked Paul. "In John's baptism." "That explains it," says Paul. John preached a baptism of radical life change so that people would be ready to receive the one coming after him, who turned out to be Jesus. If you've been baptized in John's baptism, you're ready now for the real thing, for Jesus. And they were. As soon as they heard of it, they were baptized in the name of the Master, Jesus. Paul put his hands on their heads, and the Holy Spirit entered them. From that moment on, they were praising God in tongues and talking about God's actions. Altogether, there were about 12 of them there that day. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Today we celebrate Holy Communion, and we prepare our hearts through confession. I'm going to ask you to join me as we pray the prayer of confession together. You can find it in your hymnal on page 12, and it should also be on the screen. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen.
For a miracle, the heart longs for a little bit of hope. Oh, come, oh, come, Emmanuel. A child prays for peace on earth, and she's calling now from the sea of hurt. Oh, oh, come, Emmanuel. And can you hear the angels singing? Glory to the light of the world. Glory. Of a mother, a baby's cry is the sound of a love. Come down, Emmanuel. Woo. He is the song for the suffering. He is Messiah, the Prince of Peace.
Today in Spark Worship, our kiddos are actually going to be learning about the wise men visiting Jesus and the gift that Jesus represented to all people. And next week, we're going to celebrate Jesus' baptism joining back with the grown-ups, right?
That's right. This week, we're going to celebrate that. And when you guys come back in for Holy Communion, you can actually touch the water and as you come through. Ruby said, yay.
All right, so we're going to invite all of the children to go to the back of the church to be ready to leave, and we are going to sing O Come All Ye Faithful. We're going to have a message about the wise men, and then we will be back parents for communion later.
Thanks, Jesse. So today we're going to go before the Lord in prayer and spend some time reflecting what it is that God would have us learn and do today, seeking the gift of the Holy Spirit to fall once more upon us here. Boy, it just feels like the Holy Spirit's made a home in this church. And so let's ask God to come into our hearts, our minds, as we prepare for Holy Communion, as we pray silently, and I'll close this in prayer, okay? Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and it shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by that same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever enjoy your consolations. This we pray in the name of Christ Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit, and let all who agree say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, today is a very special day in the life of the church, and so I was considering a lot of what it means to be clean. And I remember this saying, cleanliness is next to godliness. Anybody ever heard that before? Do you know that this saying actually came from John Wesley in 1791? I know, I didn't know that either. He actually said this, slovenliness is no part of religion. Cleanliness is indeed next to godliness. Our own John Wesley said that, and apparently he wanted to emphasize the importance of cleanliness as a way to respect God and to respect oneself. And although these exact words do not appear in the Bible anywhere, there's a lot in the Bible about rituals of purity and cleanliness. In many cultures, washing is seen not as only a way to clean and purify oneself physically and spiritually, but for our Jewish ancestors, it was seen as a way to connect with God in divine intervention, as God would be connected with us through this ritual washing. And they said it would fulfill a mitzvah. And in the Hebrew language, mitzvah just means commandment, a good commandment. For Christians, this ritual washing is a symbol of rebirth and renewal, and we call this ritual baptism. Baptism is the symbolic cleansing from sin and rebirth into new life in Christ, and it all started when John the Baptizer went into the desert calling people into a baptism of repentance. Several passages in the Bible mention that large crowds gathered to be baptized by John. We see that in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And the gospel also says that John baptized tax collectors, soldiers, Pharisees, ordinary people came to the water to be baptized. And in John's own words, he prophesied, "One mightier than I is coming, and he will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire." That is in Matthew 3:11. It is estimated that John the Baptizer baptized anywhere between 1,000 to tens of thousands of people that came to him in the desert to be baptized in the Jordan River. And there we find that Jesus, too, went into the desert to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. So we know it's a pretty significant event. Let's read about it when we go to our scripture lesson today. I'm going to be reading from Mark 1, 9, verses 11, from the Message. The Message is a paraphrased version of the Bible, and it might give you just a different kind of interpretation of what was said and what was done. You can go to the Pew Bible in front of you to page number 910 and look it up there. You'll see the difference in the language. I like the Message because it seems to be very poetic, and sometimes the Message written by Eugene Peterson is pretty graphic and gritty. But today, I think you'll enjoy that language. The reason I give you different Bible verses is so that you might hear the word in a different way. Because every reading and every hearing of the Bible is a new reading and hearing with the help of the Holy Spirit who guides us. So listen now closely, if you've got it in front of you, in your pew Bible, for a word from God found from Mark 1, 9 through 11. At this time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. The moment he came out of the water, he saw the sky split open and God's Spirit looking like a dove come down on him. Along with the Spirit, a voice, "You are my son, chosen and marked by my love, pride of my life." This is the word of God for the people of God. Man, sometimes I long for Rex Donnelly to read those words. You hear how he reads? Can you imagine that voice? This is the Son of God, my beloved. Do you remember when COVID-19 first appeared on the scene? You remember years ago? It's like dog years, right? And it was a serious and dangerous virus. And we heard over and over and over again the importance of social distancing and washing our hands. It was said that the single most powerful factor in preventing the spread of COVID, as well as other infections, is the simple, everyday practice of washing your hands. Right, Debbie? We talked about that in Sunday school class this morning. The practice of washing our hands, our hearts, our lives through baptism is a profound spiritual lesson, too. Washing is important. Important for our physical health, our mental health, our emotional health through washing, and our spiritual health. This practice of ritual washing that we celebrate today in baptism most likely came from the Hebrew practice of ritual washing and bathing to purify oneself. It's called tivla. And tivla was most commonly a form of baptism used for cleaning your things around your house, cleaning your bodies of impurities, and it is a form of immersion. Okay, tivla, you immerse things, kind of like you're washing dishes at home. Well, baptism, and John the Baptizer was immersing. And this is really the closest form of baptism that we have, the connection between the Hebrew practice and the Christian practice. And it is, of course, immersion, the form that most of our young disciples want to go through when they're baptized. In Christian baptism, symbolically, we are washed clean and we die to our old self and then we're raised up with Christ Jesus. When we consider our own baptism, it's important for us to look at Jesus' baptism too, don't you think? And Jesus' baptism was recorded in all the gospel accounts. There's four different ones, slightly different variations in each of the telling of the story. In the Gospel of Matthew, it gives more details surrounding Jesus' baptism. Talks about John the Baptizer's sense of unworthiness to baptize Jesus. It talks about his conflict with other religious leaders. In the book Gospel of John, we find links of Jesus' baptism to the confession that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And in the Gospel of Luke, it seems to connect Jesus' baptism with Jesus' genealogy, pointing Jesus all the way back from Adam forward as to associate baptism for our need of cleansing in our common humanity. And today's reading in the Gospel according to Mark, well, Mark always tells the story in the briefest way possible. If you read the Gospel of Mark, if you don't read any other Bible this year because you can't read long passages. Mark is the shortest of all the gospel accounts. He gets to things right away, and you'll find the word immediately in there a lot. Immediately we were here. Immediately we were there. Well, John, in this reading, in a powerful way, goes right to the heart of the matter when Jesus is baptized in the Jordan River. The heavens open, the light shines, the dove descends, the voice of God speaks. Rex, can you say it? Come to the mic and say this. God speaks.
God speaks.
This is my beloved son.
This is my beloved son.
I am pleased with him.
I am pleased with him.
Good voice. Thank you. Thank you, Rex. There is no doubt about it that baptism is important. It shows up in all four Gospels. And Jesus showed up in the desert to ask John to baptize him. Have you ever wondered, why did Jesus want John to baptize him? Because Jesus was without sin, right? And John practiced the baptism of repentance. He said to everyone he baptized, repent and believe in the good news of God. Repent, turn the other way. And Jesus was without sin. Jesus, who was fully human and fully divine, went before John to be baptized. Why do you think he would need to be baptized? He didn't sin. It's pretty simple if you think about it this way. Jesus took on our sin. Jesus carried our sin. And so in his baptism, he was cleansed from our sin. That's a really powerful symbol, don't you think? And through this symbol of baptism, Jesus also gave us a spiritual practice in response to our greatest needs to be forgiven, to be washed, to be cleansed, to be renewed, all for the fullness of life. We are all in need of God's cleansing grace. And within the thousands of denominations with distinct interpretations of scripture, practices, church governance, the Protestant movement, which is what we are, and you know the word Protestant, where it came from, right? We were protesters. That's where Protestant came from, along with Methodists, Episcopals, Church of Christ, Disciples of Christ, Nazarenes, you name it, we are Protestants. And there are a lot of brands of Christianity out there. There are over 40,000 denominations worldwide. And all of these various denominations of Christianity around the world all agree on two things. Can you believe we agree on two things? One is baptism, and the core source of baptism, in the baptism of Christ Jesus in our hearts and the baptism through the waters. The second thing we can all agree on is Holy Communion. Both practices that Jesus did and showed us how to do. Now, isn't that pretty amazing? We don't agree on anything else. I mean, who can be ordained, who can be married, who can even come to the table. But we can agree on baptism and Holy Communion. But even baptism is practiced a little differently in every different church. In some denominations, the Anabaptist tradition, they will baptize you into a congregation. So when you join a church, you're baptized into that church. In the United Methodist persuasion, we believe in prevenient grace, which means that God has gone before us, ahead of us, around us. And so when we baptize babies, we know that God's prevenient grace is present and that parents take the role of training children up. And then the child, when they get to a particular age of confirmation, can decide for themselves about their belief in Jesus Christ. So we only baptize once. Now, there are many forms of baptism, and in the Bible, the baptism is really related to how much water was present. If you lived in the desert and there was not a source of water, they might have sprinkled you. If there's a little bit of water, they might have poured water on you. If there was a river, they might have dunked you in the river, immersed you, as John the Baptist did in the Jordan River. But so there's really no distinction that one is better than the other. For believers, Baptism is a significant transformation of the person's life. When they commit themselves to their faith, when they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and water is a great symbol of life, for it sustains us, it washes us, it cleanses us of our sin, and it helps us have a beginning of new life in Jesus Christ. And baptism is a community event. We don't privately baptize people. You don't go in the prayer closet and baptize. We baptize in front of the whole world, and the community is super important to be present when somebody is baptized, because we believe that you're baptized into the community of believers, that every single one of us who have experienced the baptism of water here are related to one another. And for that, we need community. We need family and friends to witness this joyous occasion when someone decides to follow Jesus for themselves. So baptism is a time of joy and celebration, of witness of new life in Christ. Last Sunday, we baptized 4 individuals. Were you here? Wait a minute. You might have remembered that we only baptized 3 children who stood and professed their faith for themselves. No, after church last Sunday, somebody came up to us and said, "I want to be baptized. I hadn't been baptized, and I feel called to be baptized. Will you baptize me? Can we be baptized here?" Well, yeah, we can baptize you here. God would never turn away a believer. And so, as it was, people came together, went and got water, went got the bowl, brought witnesses. Judy Lynn, can I get an amen? Judy Lynn was in the back. I said, "Judy Lynn, come witness this baptism because you're part of her family now." And we gathered around the font, and she was baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and receive the baptism of Jesus Christ. Now, isn't that a powerful witness? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
It was a powerful time because Christ gives us this gift through baptism, but it is not a passive gift. Last week, we talked about grace and how God's grace is given to everyone, but it's not a passive gift. That means that there are some expectations and call to action when we are baptized. When we come out of this water reborn, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to live a life that reflects Christ's teachings. We're called to love fiercely, to forgive generously, to walk humbly in service to God. And remembering our baptism is not just a ritual. It's a powerful encounter with God's grace, welcoming us into God the Father through Jesus our Lord in the power of the Holy Spirit, uniting us in grace in this global family of faith. We baptized our family members. And that's a powerful thing when you realize you are not alone. You are never alone if you are a baptized believer. You have countless mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers and children in the faith. You are never alone. We might even drive you a little crazy. Families do that, Rex. Not yours. Now, some of us were baptized as babies. I was baptized as a baby. I don't remember it. You know, I hear about it anecdotally. And some of us were baptized as children, some as adults. And we believe that God blesses baptism no matter how old we are when we come to the water. We United Methodists believe that God is preveniently with us and acknowledging that God goes before us and after us, and we are members of Christ's church, but we are called to remember our baptism, to remember the vows that were taken, to remember the blessings that God has offered to you, and then to live more fully into that baptism, because sometimes, frankly, we just forget. The world is dirty. We forget. We get dirt on us. And that's why we come to church on the first Sunday of the month, because Methodists only do communion first Sunday of the month. And we do a prayer confession. You did it this morning with Rex. Sometimes we say it by wrote, because we forget that we have been in the world, and sin so easily clings to us. And yet, when we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us. That's it. It's gone. It's forgotten. And we're asked to live into this baptism by forgiving others. We'll say the Lord's Prayer after we do the communion liturgy. And you know those famous words in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as? That's a calling of your baptism. That is a calling of your baptism. You are to forgive others. And yeah, I know that's hard, and that's why I need to come to the water and get washed every once in a while. I just need to remember who I am and whose I am. I need to remember that this world does not have a claim on me as long as I stay in the power of the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ our Lord. Today, every single person here, whether you're baptized or not, are called to remember what it is that we believe and who it is that we love and serve. If you have been baptized, you may come up during Holy Communion, touch the water. You might want to put a little on your forehead, mark the sign of the cross, or even do the sign of the cross to remember whose you are. And you can even say, I remember my baptism, and I am thankful. Touch the water. Be renewed and restored. If you have not yet been baptized and you want to be baptized, you just tell me after church. Don't pour the water out right away. And we will baptize you here. Now, you can't be immersed today. But Jenny keeps telling me she's going to get a super soaker. And she's happy to soak you through. We'll just fill it with holy water and let her have at you. Some people renew their baptism like that. She wanted to do that this Sunday. You know, like, I'll get a super soaker. But you'll have an opportunity to come forward when you receive Holy Communion. You'll walk right by the font. Touch it. Mark yourself. Remember who you are and whose you are in Christ Jesus. It is a sacramental time. God's Spirit will have been poured out upon this water. The water that immerses us, the water that flows freely to whoever will receive it, the water that is the streams of God's love saving us through power and justice, water that will bring hope to all who are thirsty for righteousness, water that will refresh us and give us life, nurture us and offer us new birth. Let us be renewed by God's Spirit as we reaffirm our baptismal covenant to remember your baptism and be thankful. So, Rex, I'm going to ask you to come pour the water as we bless it so that this water will be blessed by the time you come up and you're ready. Let us pray. Almighty God, giver of the gift of water, at the very dawn of creation, your Spirit breathed breath on this water, making it a wellspring of life. We bless you for the waters of Jesus' baptism. In them, he was anointed as Christ by the Holy Spirit that he might renew all creation and open us to new life and unending joy. Come upon these waters, O God. Let the waters be to us drops of your mercy. Let the waters renew us in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Let us the waters remind us of your righteousness and justice. Let the waters make us long for your coming reign. Most holy God, Abba, we give glory to you. Jesus Christ, Savior, Lord, glory to you. Spirit of life, Spirit over the waters, Spirit of holiness, glory to you. Eternal God, one in three and three in one, all glory is yours now and forevermore. Amen. All who seek to be renewed in these baptismal waters, help yourself. These waters blessed, the Spirit present with us. Remember your baptism and be thankful. Amen. Thank you, Rex.
Now I invite you to prepare your heart to offer your presence to the Lord. Pastor always asks the lay readers to say a little something about why they give. My wife and I support this church because this church, in return, supports us in our Christian journey so much more than we could give, and we do appreciate it. And when I say church, I mean the people, not the building. It's the people that make the church. My mom always said that you can tell a lot about a person by who they hang out with. I think she's smiling. Will the ushers come forward now?
Be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Before the mountains were brought forth, or you had formed the earth from everlasting to everlasting, you alone are God. You created light out of darkness and brought forth life on the earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. And when we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity and made covenant to be our sovereign God and spoke to us through your prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom you have revealed yourself, our light, our salvation. In his baptism and at the table fellowship, he took place with sinners. Your Spirit anointed him to preach the good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, to recover the sight of the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and announce that the time had come when you would save your people. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water in the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread. He gave thanks to you and broke the bread, giving it to his disciples as he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup and again gave you thanks and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the cup poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with God's Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Almighty God, faithfully pour out the power of your Holy Spirit upon each one of us gathered here and upon these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. And by your Spirit, make us one. One with Christ, one with each other, and one in service and ministry to the whole world until Christ comes again and we feast together at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor, all glory, all power is yours, Almighty God, now and forevermore. Amen. And now let us say the words that Jesus taught us as we say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, those who are helping to serve, please come up to the table now as we prepare. Also, I'll remind you in your bulletin is the communion rail offering. It's a pretty typical thing that we Methodists do. We usually place extra money on the altar rail, but we have baskets on either side of the front row. If you want to give to UMCOR, come on up. If you want to give to UMCOR, then place it in that basket. And 100% of what you give will be given over to UMCOR. Now let us prepare the table as we get ready to receive Holy Communion. Also, let's don't forget, when you come forward, if you would like to remember your baptism, just touch the water. Put it on your head. However you want to be covered with the water. So we'll invite you in just a moment to please come. And I wish you could have seen the joy, not only on the children's faces, and some of them got pretty wet, but on your faces as well, to see the light of Jesus Christ in you, to see the power of the Holy Spirit at work in your life is a powerful witness, and I am so grateful. If anyone is not baptized and wants to be at the end of this service, come and talk to me. I'll get you wet. Okay? We have a prayer to say after the receiving of Holy Communion, and it will be up on the board. Will you say it with me? Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. When we leave this place, we always go with the word of discipleship, the discipleship that we are called by virtue of our baptism and the gift of the Holy Spirit by God's grace to go out into the world. And this is what we say our mission is here at Helotes Hills United Methodist Church. Will you say it with me? The mission of Helotes Hills United Methodist Church is to grow and nurture disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of our community in the world. I think you can do it. Amen? What a beautiful day. If you have been blessed to be in worship and praising God this day, would you say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Will you say glory to God?
Glory to God.
Will you go forth into the world in the power of Jesus Christ to do all you can to show them that Christ is alive?
Yes.
You had to think about that, really? Say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
And amen. Let us go forth in peace.